Revelation, Book of Revelation, chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 responsively. I'll read the first verse and then all together on the second verse and so on. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 9. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain, the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for these major topics that we are going to be looking at from the book of Revelation. And I pray once again you give us ears to hear, give us some understanding. Help us, dear God, in our growth as Christian people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the sea in verse 1 symbolizes the Gentile nations, and from one of them, Satan will bring forth his man that we call the Antichrist, or the beast, as he is referred to in our text. Now, the Apostle John, who was used by God to pen down this final book in God's divine library, also spoke of many antichrists when he wrote this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, the word antichrist means instead of or against Christ. These antichrists deny that Jesus is indeed God come in the flesh, and they believe in a Christ that is not compatible to what the Bible says about him. One of the fastest growing cults believed Jesus to be the brother to Lucifer, and there are many religions that outright deny his deity. Yes, John, in 1 John, points out that there are many antichrists, but when we read of what he wrote of the antichrist in the tribulation period, he's referring to one individual, one who will be the epitome of all the antichrists that came before him. He is without a doubt the most notable personality on earth during Daniel's 70th week. The Bible mentions several things about this diabolical, despicable, deceitful, defiant, debased individual who rises to power in the time of tribulation that is certain to come upon this Christ-rejecting world. Number one, he will be revealed soon after the rapture of the saint. Now this is given to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 through 10. And there we read this: Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a fallen away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know that with know what withhold it that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now history is full of individuals who were thought to be this one that is called Antichrist. While there have been such deplorable individuals as Antiochus Epiphanes, Haman, Adolf Hitler, and others, they could not be the wicked one because Christ has not returned to take his people home. Yet this fact has not kept some from identifying some person as the Antichrist. Yet he's not going to be revealed until we're caught up in the air. I've heard some say that it was George Bush. Others, Barack Obama. And then there were others who said Hillary Clinton. Such speculation and labeling is foolish. It is unnecessary and it is unbiblical. However, if God's design date for the rapture is in our near future, the Antichrist could very well be living at this present time. But please don't tell me you think you know who it is. Only God knows at this point, and we would do well to leave that knowledge with him. If one is alive on earth when the wicked is revealed, this means they have entered into the tribulation period, and it will be the worst time this world will ever face. And you won't want to be here when the Antichrist takes charge. If one is to escape the wrath of God to come, they best flee to Jesus before it's too late. Number two, the Antichrist is going to be empowered by Satan. Look at verses 1 through 6 of our text, which would be found in Revelation chapter 13. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw," now notice this, when you look at these different animals, you see that they were pictured in Daniel as Gentile nations. That's why I said he will come from the Gentile nations. "I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon," now who would that be, "gave him his power and his seat and a great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there were given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months or 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." Now, the Antichrist will be a living, breathing human being. However, he will be possessed by and empowered by the devil himself. He's called the beast in verse 2, "For God does not see him as a man made in his image, but as a wild animal under the control of the devil." With satanic power, he will have great influence. He'll be a great deceiver. He'll perform miracles and have the forces of demonic beings as an ally. His power is said to come from the dragon in verse 2 and 4. And the identity of the dragon is given to us in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, which tells us, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, while Satan isn't omnipotent, He definitely is a powerful foe, and he is one to be reckoned with. Now, in this passage, we are told that Satan gets what he had always desired, and that is to be worshipped, and he will receive it along with the beast. This longing and unholy craving to be worshipped is clearly seen in the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we read this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now Satan is going to make the beast a great orator. One who uses his speech to blaspheme God, his name, his tabernacle in heaven, as well as all those who dwell there. Now the word blasphemy means vilification, evil speaking and railing. Now this should come as no surprise, since Satan has given power to the beast. I detest people's speech today when they take God's name in vain. I detest it when they rail against the church and they badmouth God's people. This, however, will be taken to a whole new level as the tongue of the Antichrist is set on the fires of hell. The Antichrist will have great success in leading the unbelieving world into the worship of Satan. But it will not last. For his wicked words and his power will only be around for 42 months, or the last half of the tribulation period, before he goes to that place prepared for the devil and his angels, and the devil is chained and cast into the pit for 1,000 glorious years. Number three, the Antichrist will come as an imitation of Christ. Satan has always been a master counterfeiter. He tries in every possible way to imitate God and his work. He has his false preachers and workers. And we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. And there we read, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know, Satan has a false gospel, and it mixes law and grace. It mixes works and grace. And you know what he tells people? You got to be good. You got to do this. You got to do that. There's something that you must do if you are going to enter into the gates of glory. But the gospel is simple belief in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. And it is a result of believing in Christ and nothing more, Christ and nothing less, and Christ and nothing else. He has false believers, and he sows tares amongst the wheat. He has wolves in sheep's clothing, has professors that are not true possessors. He has his false churches, and the Bible refers to them as the synagogue of Satan. He has his false Bibles. He has he's been distorting God's word ever since he told Eve in the garden, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yes, Satan's man, the Antichrist, mimics the real Christ in several ways. Just as Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, Satan will manifest himself through the beast. Just as Jesus died and came back to life, so will the Antichrist, according to verse 3 of Revelation 13. And then we read this in Revelation chapter 17, verse 18. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and what? Yet is. Both came proclaiming peace. Both received worship. Both can do the miraculous, and both at some time will rule the world. And don't forget, both claim to be God. The Antichrist will be able to fool those Christ rejectors during the tribulation, but Satan and his deceitful workers are doing their best to dupe people now. Jesus warned us about Satan and his deceit. And if we are not to be ensnared by his falsehood, we best be rock solid in knowing the word of truth and being faithful to a church that is the pillar and ground of the truth, and listen to the preacher who proclaims the truth of God's word, the truth and nothing but the truth. Then number four, the Antichrist will oppose all that has to do with God. He will oppose all that has to do with God. Now, we have already seen in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist will speak blasphemies against God. Now, Daniel also prophesied about this 500 years before Christ's first coming. And we read this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he, speaking of the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And to think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Now the he there is the beast. And he's going to wage war against those who come to faith in Christ during that 7-year period known as the tribulation. He will make laws to fit his agenda. And he's going to change the calendar by abolishing all references to the Jewish feast and anything that has to do with Christ. Yet this will last for 3.5 years. Or as Daniel tells us, a time, that's 1 year. Times would be what? And the dividing of time would be what?
Half a year,
3.5 years. Daniel goes on to describe the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, where it is written, and the king shall do according to his will. Notice that's a mark of the Antichrist. Maybe next time you decide you're going to exercise your own will, you might want to think about this passage. Because you're definitely not identifying yourself with God right there. Let's go on. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. This evil being sets himself up as God. He exalts himself and lives according to his will, and prospers till that 42 months is over, for what God has determined will be done, and he is determined he will last 42 months. The Antichrist will rule over the world. In Revelation 13, verse 7, we are told, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power is given him over what? All kindreds and tongues and what? Nations. Now, even in our day, people around the globe are looking for someone who has all the answers to the world's problems, the problems of a lack of peace, one who can solve economic difficulties, bring about world government, and have a one world religion. Through satanic influence, the Antichrist will come on the scene with what the world believes they have been looking for. And he will achieve what no man in recent history has accomplished, and that will be global leadership. His dictatorship, however, will be short-lived. For Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 through 25 tells us, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. While no man can withstand the Antichrist, he is overmatched, outmatched, and overcome by the Prince of Princes, Jesus Christ. Number six, the Antichrist signs a peace treaty with Israel and then breaks it. Daniel 9:27 speaks of this. It reads, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week," now that week would be a week of what? Years. "And in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolation." Now, the word week there is a week of years, and a week of years would be 7 years. That he is once again speaking of the Antichrist, who makes a covenant with Israel for 7 years. But after 3.5 years, he breaks that covenant. This covenant will solve the Middle East problem, and the Antichrist makes a promise to protect the Jews from their enemies, perhaps so they can build the temple and restore their sacrifices. The spiritually blind Jewish leaders, who are ignorant of their own scriptures, gladly sign on to it, only to see it abolished at midpoint. This is when the beast will seize the temple. He'll put his own image there and will force the world to worship him. This is the abomination of desolation Daniel speaks of in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, where it is written, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And when you bring that about, it's another, what, 3.5 years. Jesus spoke about that time in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. As he said, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Now the Antichrist up until now has deceived the world by playing the slick-tongued politician. Now he's going to reveal himself as a tool of Satan and become a cruel world dictator and seek to eliminate all who would not worship his image. Satan has always hated the Jews. They are God's people. They are the apple of his eye. And through them, we have the scriptures. And through them, we have the Savior. So often, he has used godless men to persecute them and attempt to exterminate them. So it should not be surprised that the devil incarnate will break his covenant with the Jewish people and take over their temple and bring about a renewed, intensified persecution of them and all who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Number seven, as I briefly mentioned early, the Antichrist will be killed and have a resurrection. Verse 3 says this of Revelation 13, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." This event seems to be the deciding factor for the nations to rally around the leadership of the Antichrist. Now, the wound he suffered must be important, for as mentioned 3 times in the book of Revelation chapter 13, and is said to come from a sword, according to verse 14. Now, the unbelieving world who rejected the risen Savior now swoons at the beast and the power that he has given. Verse 4 says this, "And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" While some wonder whether the resurrection is indeed a satanic miracle, whether the beast actually died and cleverly designed a ruse to rise from the dead, this much we do know. The people alive at that time believed it happened, and it did accomplish what it intended to do. Number 8, the Antichrist will rule the world until he is crushed by Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. We read this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 19. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." Say, what's significant about that horse? It's white. "And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Wonder who that could be. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." Now, the armies of the Antichrist don't put up much of a fight. For how can mere man or one empowered by Satan ever stand up against Jesus, who has all power in heaven and on earth? They are like those described in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And there we read this. "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in heavens shall laugh." He's not shooken up about that. "The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." Then lastly, the Antichrist will be the first one along with the false prophet to be cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 19:20 tells us this, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Now it's great to know how the story of the Antichrist ends. In spite of his dominance and the power given to him, the following that he acquired, the adoration of multitudes, that name that he made for himself, his reign comes to an end, and his eternal destiny is sealed. Did you notice these two were cast alive into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone? Well, evidently, they survived the Battle of Armageddon, but they could not escape the forever damnation in that place of torment. It will be another 1,000 years before others join them there. And every one of them will have one thing in common, and that is they all refused to trust Christ for salvation. Don't make the same mistake. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.